Welcome to episode 1174 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Our series, 1010 with Jesus, A Deeper Look, continues today. It is nightfall. Jesus has led Peter, James, and John up a high mountain to pray. As he prays, his face begins to shine like the sun, and his clothes become radiant, dazzling white. The disciples, weary from the climb, drift toward sleep, but are suddenly awakened by an otherworldly light. They see Jesus transformed and speaking with two figures now clearly visible beside him.
The time has come. All the law has led to this.
And the prophets have prepared the way. Are you ready?
I will go to Jerusalem. I will suffer and die. But on the third day I will rise. The plan will be fulfilled.
Peter, James, and John are overwhelmed.
Rabbi, it is good that we are here.
Is this a vision, or are we still dreaming?
No dream. This is holy ground, and Jesus is speaking with. Oh my.
Lord, let me build three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.
A bright cloud overshadows them. The disciples fall to the ground. A voice speaks from the cloud.
This is my beloved son. Listen to him.
The cloud lifts. Moses and Elijah are gone. Jesus approaches the disciples and touches them.
Rise, don't be afraid.
What just happened?
You saw the glory that is mine before the foundation of the world.
Why Moses? Why Elijah?
Moses carried the law to Israel. Elijah called a nation back to God. They stood for the word and the fire, and now they pass the torch.
Why not reveal this to all?
Because glory cannot be grasped before the cross is carried. Tell no one of this vision, not until the Son of Man has risen from the dead.
But why do the teachers say Elijah must come first?
Elijah has come, and they did not recognize him. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah, and just as they did to him, so too will they do to the Son of Man.
The scene is stunning. Jesus, radiant with divine glory, stands atop a mountain, speaking with Moses and Elijah. His face shines like the sun, his clothes dazzling white. Peter, James, and John, still bleary-eyed from sleep, wake to a vision that seizes their souls with awe and fear. Jesus is transfigured before them, and in this rare, extraordinary moment, we witness two simultaneous conversations, one between Jesus and the great prophets of Israel's past, Moses and Elijah, the other between Jesus and his closest disciples. Heaven and earth converge on that mountain, and the veil between what is seen and unseen briefly lifts. Why this moment? Why now? Why these figures? Jesus had just foretold his suffering and death. The disciples were confused and disheartened. For them, the Messiah was supposed to reign, not be rejected. But here, on the mountain, God provides a powerful affirmation. Jesus is not failing. He is fulfilling. Moses represents the law. Elijah, the prophets, both had pointed forward to a greater one to come. Now they appear in glorious splendor, speaking with Jesus about his departure, literally, his exodus. Not only is this a conversation about what Jesus will endure in Jerusalem, but it is also a cosmic endorsement. Everything the law and prophets anticipated is being fulfilled in him. Moses once ascended a mountain and saw the back of God's glory. Elijah once encountered God not in fire or earthquake, but in a still small voice. Now both stand face to face with the radiant Son of God. Their earthly missions find completion in this moment, and Peter, James, and John are invited to witness it. The transfiguration is not a transformation in the sense that Jesus becomes something he was not. Rather, it is a revelation, an unveiling, of who he truly is. His divine glory, normally veiled in humility and flesh, is briefly exposed. The disciples needed this. They were about to walk a dark path, one that would lead to betrayal, arrest, suffering, and a shameful cross. Jesus knew they needed a mountaintop encounter to sustain faith when the storm clouds gathered, a glimpse of glory to carry them through the valley. Sometimes we need reminders, glimpses, brief flashes of divine glory when the road ahead looks uncertain. The transfiguration reminds us suffering does not erase glory. It often reveals it more deeply. Peter, ever eager, blurts out, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In other words, let's stay here. Let's preserve this moment. let's build something around this glory. But while Peter is still speaking, a bright cloud envelops them, and a voice from heaven thunders, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Not Moses, not Elijah, not Peter, him. The Father affirms Jesus not just as a prophet, not just as a leader or teacher, but as the beloved Son. And then he gives a simple command. Listen to him. This is the heart of Christian discipleship. We don't just admire Jesus. We listen to him. We don't just celebrate his teachings. We submit to his words. Peter wanted to prolong the mountaintop, but the voice of God redirects him. This moment isn't to be contained. It's to prepare you to follow him. When the vision ends, only Jesus remains. No cloud, no dazzling light, no Moses or Elijah, just Jesus. And that's enough. The disciples fall to the ground in fear, but Jesus touches them and says, "Rise, don't be afraid." He doesn't explain everything. He doesn't promise it will be easy, but he gives them his presence, and that's what they need most. As they walk down the mountain, he tells them not to speak of what they saw until after the resurrection. Why? Because the full meaning of the glory could only be understood in the light of the cross. Sometimes God gives us extraordinary moments, spiritual highs, visions, clarity, peace, but not so we can stay there. He gives them so we can walk faithfully afterward. What matters most is that after the lights fade and clouds lift, we still see Jesus only. Let's get deep. What the Transfiguration teaches us about Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of the entire story of Scripture. The presence of Moses and Elijah is not symbolic filler. It is theological gold. Their appearance shows that all of Israel's scriptures, God's entire covenant history, culminate in Jesus. He is not a new chapter. He is the fulfillment. He is the yes to every promise God ever made. When we read the Old Testament, we are being prepared to recognize and receive him. Jesus' divinity was never absent, only veiled. The Transfiguration does not change Jesus. It reveals him. For a brief moment, the veil is lifted, and the disciples see the blazing glory that has always belonged to him as the eternal Son of God. Jesus is greater than any spiritual experience or earthly hero. Peter wanted to build shelters to preserve the moment and honor all three figures equally. But God the Father interrupts. Even the most revered figures in Scripture must step aside for the Son. And even our most glorious spiritual moments are meant to deepen our faith in him, not become ends in themselves. Jesus is the center of worship and the true object of our attention. When the Father says, "Listen to him," he echoes the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, where God promises to raise up a prophet like him. But now, that promise is fulfilled in one who is not just a prophet, but God's very Son. Worship is no longer tied to temples or tabernacles, to laws or rituals. It is tied to Christ. Our worship is not complete until he is the focus of our ears, our eyes, our hearts, and our lives. Jesus will walk through suffering to glory, and so will we. Just as Moses led God's people from bondage to freedom, Jesus will lead his people through the cross to resurrection life. This is not just a private glimpse of majesty. It's a preview of victory through suffering. Jesus doesn't bypass pain. He transforms it into glory. And if we follow him, we must be ready to take up our own cross and walk the same path. But we do so knowing the end is glory. Jesus is gentle with the fearful and faithful with the weak. When the disciples fall in fear, Jesus does not scold them. He touches them. He lifts them. He speaks comfort. This is our Savior, not only majestic, but deeply compassionate. His power does not make him distant. It makes him tender. He knows our frailty and meets us with grace. Father, thank you for revealing the glory of your Son on the mountain. Thank you for confirming that Jesus is not only the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, but the radiance of your own presence. And when the glory fades and only Jesus remains, let that be enough. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.